Good evening, White Sox fans, and welcome to another edition of the Future Sox podcast. My name is Ian Eskridge. Joining me, as always, Mr. James Fox. This week, we have a special guest, Jesus Cano of Baseball America. How are you doing tonight, Jesus?
Oh, I'm doing excellent, guys. Thank you guys so much for having me. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. So you are boots on the ground in Arizona, covering all of the, basically all the Arizona Bridge complex, and I assume probably the Fall League as well, since you're there. Do you want to let everybody know, a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So yeah, now this is my, it's crazy to say I'm just 25. This is my 10th year kind of in the reporting scene, just in general. Started off doing high school sports, then community college sports. Then when I was at Fresno State, did that stuff. But as I graduated, was able to land a job at MLB.com, where I helped out coverage out of everything based out of Arizona, which is covering the D-backs when they went to the World Series, getting to go to the All-Star game, and of course, helping out on the prospect side, not just doing Arizona Fall League, but helping out MLB Pipeline, and then joined Baseball America in January, so I'm about 8 months into my tenure here. And yeah, I'm just in charge of a lot of different things, specifically on the prospect side of things, the professional side. So I'm here year round. You know, I'm out here suffering in the sun, 118 degrees the other week. But yeah, I'm boots on the ground, watching every single team play, what guys are out there and stuff like that. So we do a really good job at Baseball America. And I actually did want to promote something real quick, since you guys took Billy Carlson. The latest edition of the draft edition has the three Corona guys on them. And Carlson's on the cover, so if anybody's interested in picking up a copy, they're available at the Barnes & Noble, or you can be able to order it online. So shout out to Baseball America, guys. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I have that draft guide. It's cool. It's really good, especially with some of the guys they took. So yeah, before we get into some of these White Sox guys, something I didn't I forgot to mention. Like, what can you just like briefly summarize the difference between like all these leagues that are happening? There's the continuation league and the bridge league, right? Is there more than that, or just those two?
It's just those two, and we're just talking on the Arizona standpoint. I don't know what's going on in Florida, but from the Arizona standpoint, yeah, essentially what the bridge league and continuation camp is, it's just basically the same thing. It's unofficial games played between teams to get a lot of their draft guys and a lot of guys that keep over from the ACL, or some guys that arrive early from the DSL. And the biggest difference is it's just a difference in leagues. It's the East Valley versus the West Valley. The White Sox happen to be in the West Valley, so they're part of the bridge league. It kind of cuts off at the Brewers side. So even though they're in Phoenix, they're part of the Bridge League side. Everything else, so Tempe, Mesa, and some of the teams based in Phoenix are in the continuation camp. Everybody else, Goodyear, Glendale, Peoria, Surprise, all those teams are part of the Bridge League.
See, I didn't even realize there was much of a difference there. So look at that. I feel like they haven't been like super transparent about exactly what it is that's going on down there.
Yeah, no, it's even last year when I was with MLB Pipeline last year, I was just going through Twitter and I would see pictures of Jack Caglione, Nick Kurtz, Travis Bezzano playing, and I'm like, where are these games happening? The ACL isn't happening anymore. And that's when I just started to discover the Bridge League, and really here at Baseball America, we really wanted to make a priority to really get the content out there, since there isn't, like I said, it's a fairly new league. But at the same time, there's not a lot of people covering. And I think people are really excited to see what the new draft guys are doing, regardless of team. So it's a good opportunity to see these guys firsthand.
Well, it's smart. It's like, it's something that we've often talked about, just where, like, you know, like how different minor league baseball is now. There's literally nowhere for prep guys to go. Like, so if you're a team that just takes a bunch of prep guys, and the White Sox have dabbled, right? But they haven't really done it like they've done it this year. And everybody's like always excited right away to see these guys go out to affiliates. You're not seeing these guys until next year when the season starts. And even then, I mean, you know, I feel like the top guys we're going to talk about might go to low A Canapolis, but the rest of them will be, you know, in Arizona anyway. So it's like really, I'm excited that you guys are covering this, because it's just like one of those blind spot areas that fans ask about. And, you know, you see like a photo here or there, right? But that was it before.
Yeah, and I think the other exciting thing too is like me having been here since the beginning of, you know, big, I mean, I live here year-round, so I've been here since, you know, watching spring training, the Complex League and stuff like that. It's kind of this breath of fresh air. The way I like to describe it to a lot of people, player development and teams and stuff like that, it feels like the first day of school for a lot of these guys, you know, showing up in their team uniforms for the first time, because it's the actual team uniform. It's not like a minor league uniform like a lot of other guys. So just being able to see your recent draft picks playing in their uniform is really excited to be able to do it. And it's just the first exposure, the first taste of pro ball. It's like the example I used earlier, like Nick Kurtz was playing in the Bridge League around this time last year, and now he's, you know, with the A's, potential, I mean, AL Rookie of the Year candidate for sure, and just the things that he's doing right now. So it's a good exposure. It's quick how these guys are rising through, too.
We had a listener question here from Doug. Says, do they have the weird rules like pulling pitcher and putting them back in like they do in spring training? Do they have that there?
Yeah, they do. It's basically the Wild West out there, you know, it's which I kind of like a little bit, too, because they'll be able to roll innings. So there aren't these innings that go on forever. You know, they stop them just to be able to limit the pitcher's count, or if they want to get an extra bat, they'll do it. So it really feels like the Wild West of baseball, which is good at times. If there's a rehab guy, they'll bat at the top of the order three or four innings and that'll be it. They won't play the field or anything. So it's kind of cool to be able to see the different variety of things and just kind of the player development side that goes on in these games, too.
So what have you seen from White Sox first rounder Billy Carlson? Seems like he's one of the more exciting guys in Arizona currently.
Yeah, well, even before I even get into, you know, him on the field specifically, I had the chance to talk to him during the MLB Draft Combine that was held at Chase Field here back in June. And he was one of the players that we were able to interview. A couple other people, too, that we interviewed were his teammates, Seth Fernandez, Brady Ebel, Liam Doyle, Cason Cunningham, and Jamie Arnold, just to name a few. And I think out of all the players that I've talked to, Carlson was the one that showed, I think, the best makeup as a player. He was very mature, very approachable, very laid back, very chill, gave really good answers when we were able to ask him questions. And I have a history of covering high school sports. I have covered guys like Najee Harris, Joe Mixon, DJ Uiagalelei when they were in high school. And I don't think any other player that I've talked to carried the weight himself Billy Carlson does. So I think from a makeup standpoint, really good player, really good guy. And just talking to a lot of people within the organization for the White Sox, is that's what they've been impressed with the most, is the way that he's able to carry himself and how inquisitive he's been, asking a lot of questions about the game and just really challenging himself and also taking every at-bat seriously. Like, you know, these games are played in front of maybe their teammates and a couple other scouts, but he takes them like, you know, he's playing at a sold out at the White Sox stadium. You know, that's I think that says a lot to him. I've been able to watch him for two games, and the most recent one on Saturday, he collected three hits and showed really good defense, which I think has been his biggest calling card. But it's also been good to see him make the adjustments, facing more consistent pitching. That's been a, has more high octane stuff, being a little bit more passive and having a better pitch selection. And, you know, Carlson Berry, one of the most exciting players that I wanted to watch. You know, that's why a reason why when it was the opening day of the Bridge League, I went out to watch the Reds versus the White Sox play, because I really wanted to get my eye on him. And he's been really pleasant to watch.
Yeah, one of the things that people were worried about was whether or not they said that there was some sort of a swing issue. And I could, you know, like watching video, like, I can see a couple of things that I'm like, okay, I can see where he needs a little bit of work, but you know, at least the bat to ball has looked pretty good. I mean, like, I don't know what those pitches are doing that he's swinging at that we see in the videos. But I mean, it looks like he's doing a pretty good job of doing some bat to ball skills there, even if you haven't seen like the power show up yet.
Yeah. And he's just making contact. You know, it's the biggest thing. He's not trying to hit him out the park, you know. Power isn't necessarily his calling card. It's the bat to ball skills. And if you see a couple of the videos that I've shown, which it was nice to get three hits of him, because I only was able to get a walk last time I was able to see him play. But just be able to make contact on the ball, you know, a couple of the ones that he made on contact went the opposite way foul, but he was able to get an opposite base hit too. So he's kind of using all the levels of the field too.
You got anything else on Billy? You move to Jaden Fowski. You've seen him as well, I take it?
Yeah, I've seen him play too. It's really unfortunate. Yesterday, he hit a single yesterday and showed really good base running. But unfortunately, like literally that same inning, my home plate camera that was recording got knocked down by a foul ball. It popped the memory card out of it, and I was hoping that the file would still be safe to show, because it's like, especially home plate side, it's like, because you guys would be surprised how bad the base running is at this lower level, especially after watching so much ACL games. But the way that his instincts were able to kick in when he was running the bases and generate a run, and yeah, you know, it's bridge league, the runs don't count, the stats don't count, but I think seeing stuff like that early on from a player who's making that transition from behind the plate to the outfield to kind of be a little bit more athletic, I think was a very encouraging sign. But I mean, his tit tool is very, very good. You know, it's a smooth, rhythmic, left-handed swing with excellent balance and plate coverage. And coming into it, he was really known for his strong contact skills, plate discipline with high walk potential. I've definitely seen that a little bit more. And I think, you know, he's a high school guy, local guy too. It appears from a couple of things that I've been able to read about him. He grew up, you know, a White Sox fan and watching a lot of these guys play. So I think it's also special having a guy that knows the organization, especially like the White Sox, you know, that have been able to get a good gist of what's going on. I think that really elevates how much a player will perform for them. And I think we're seeing that there a little bit from her, you know. Looks like a future middle of the order bat with solid average and on base percentage. And I've really enjoyed what I've seen from him so far.
They had him in center field?
Yes, they did have him in center field.
Did you get to see him make any attempts out there?
There was nothing crazy. I mean, it was kind of routine fly balls, but you can tell that he's taking really good routes to the balls. Isn't, you know, doesn't look like a fish out of water there. I think he's making the transition to outfield really good.
So the other guy, the third high school player, I guess, Landon Hodge was their fourth rounder, but he's over slot, $1 million catcher out of California. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, so he's been behind the plate for both of the games that I've been to. Basically, what I've been able to see him is there's a lot of really encouraging stuff, especially when coming into the draft. You know, there was a lot of concerns with the swing and miss tendencies that led to a lot of elevated strikeouts. But, I mean, when he's hitting the ball, I mean, he has a lot of line drive swing with a lot of gap-to-gap potential. He recorded a hit in each of the games that I've been able to watch him play in. And, I mean, he has a really good foundation with the swing right there. I think over time, he'll be able to add a little bit more strength with the high school guys, which is I think something that I'll be saying a lot, but I think the potential to be able to build up the power is there, as long as he's able to really understand, you know, what pitches to look at, what pitches to take, what pitches to swing on. And then on the pro catching side, on the catching side, I think he's a glove first catcher. And, you know, based on his framing and just working with a lot of pitchers who have higher experiences compared to where he's been at before in the past, I really like the way he's been able to kind of communicate frame and a lot of the pitch selection that goes on there. So Hodge has definitely been able to, you know, kind of stand out for me with his lean, athletic, has a really quick bat too. So I think he's going to be developing really well for the White Sox.
So there are some international guys that I was going to get into, but I don't know, like, if you've looked over their draft class at all. Anybody else just, like, interesting out there that, you know, I know, like, their main college guys are an affiliated, like, full season right now. But there are some, you know, some of those 10 through 20 guys, I think, are still hanging out there.
Yeah, not maybe specifically from the high school class, but like I was able to catch Kyle Odese for one game. And like right away, that guy did not waste any time. It was literally he got two hits in the first game and it was literally within the first and the second pitch. Like he saw what he liked. And obviously I saw him he recently got called up to high A, I believe. And it's making a solid transition there. I think he's a guy that a lot of people should be able to pay attention to. Not going to go anywhere above high A. I don't know exactly where he'll start next year, but he had a really good career over in college. I think he's going to be a really good player to watch. So I know he's not a high school guy or anything like that. He's already playing pro ball. But I think for anybody who's really interested in seeing like one of these more advanced bats within the draft class for the White Sox, I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. He's also a guy that people can actually watch instead of just hearing me talk or seeing my videos and stuff like that too. So I definitely wanted to give a quick shout out to Lodice there for the work he's done.
Yeah, I just saw him in Bowling Green with the Dash playing the Bowling Green Hot Rods, the Tampa Advanced A team, and he looked pretty good. So, the outfielder James that you
Christian,
wanted to
mention. Christian Gonzalez, yeah. So, obviously, it was a little bit unique for the White Sox. They promoted him mid-season from the DSL. To Arizona after he just kind of torched the DSL as an 18-year-old and then played 12 games in Arizona. The stats are good. What do you think about him?
You know, when I brought his name up to the farm director, Paul Janish, he was a guy that was really, really excited to talk about Christian Gonzalez. I mean, the stuff that he was doing in the Dominican Summer League, I mean, it's video game-like numbers, man. It was insane to see what he was doing. It seemed like every time he was going out there, he was getting a hit. A lot of scouts that I know in the Dominican Republic were very impressed with the work that he's been able to put up. And then making the transition to the ACL, it seemed really, really easy for him to go out there. And I actually believe it was a second time repeating the DSL. So I'm trying to make that transition from there to the ACL. And then if we want to officially, you know, use the Bridge League, it's been three levels now that he's been able to do. And when talking to Paul Janish, the biggest thing that he mentioned about Gonzalez is that he's taken every single step of the way, hasn't flinched at it, the exact word, hasn't flinched at every single challenge that's come with him, you know. And he's a very compact player with a very fluid left-handed swing. I think he's still growing into his body. He's about 5'11", very, like I said, very compact, like very muscular player that I think has a lot to improve on the bat. But I think the initial outcome that we've seen from him has been very good. I mean, when you look at his stats, and also when I've seen him take a couple of swings, you can tell that he has the gap-to-gap power. He's not a guy that has a lot of over-the-fence power that you've seen. I think he only hit one home run between the two levels right now. But I think he's a guy that as he continues to see a lot more at-bats and as he continues to grow and get more comfortable here, because he is that making that transition from the Dominican Republic over to the United States, which I don't think a lot of people realize how daunting that task can be. It's like coming to a different world for them. And I think for him specifically, to just be able to transition a little bit better to the pitching facing out here and just the overall environment and everything that's going on, it's going to be important for him to be able to do that and develop as a player. I think if I were to make a prediction on him too, I think he's a guy that could be like a power bat down the middle. And I think as he continues to grow on, I think maybe he'll be able to put on enough like muscle or mass to be able to maybe get into the 10 to 15 home run page. But based on everything that I've seen, the discipline is there, the swing is there, the contact is there. It's just going to be a matter about him just developing and taking that next step as he's here in the United States.
Yeah, it takes a lot for them to do. They rarely promote a guy. And I know a lot of times they don't do it in year one because of the tax reasons. And we talk about that on here, and he was there a second year, so it's easier to do. But it still catches your eye when they do it, because it's not often that guys come over midway through the season.
Yeah. And it appears, and just like one thing that I wanted to get out there for anybody watching, like when I talked to Paul Janish, it appears like a lot of the international players are going to be here for the rest of the year, Christian Gonzalez being one of them. And then also all the high school guys are going to be here through the rest of the year. So sorry to anybody who was hoping to see Billing Carlson either in Kannapolis or anything like that, but they plan on keeping him here throughout the rest of the year.
So you'd probably just be guessing on this, but so the White Sox sent Caleb Bonimer this year straight to Kannapolis, and it was kind of a surprise to us, but you know, now he's a top 100 prospect in baseball. My interpretation is that Carlson and Foskey are the types who could potentially go to Carlson right or could potentially go to Kannapolis right away next year, but Hodge is probably like a AZL rookie ball guy. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment to say. I think when you look at both of those, Foskey and Carlson, I think they're I think, you know, maybe they also have the potential to go out this year, but that's kind of asking a lot, basically, you know, with everything that they've gone through from even just the amateur side before they even got to the White Sox organization. But I think they're all – those bats are way too advanced to have them down in the Arizona complex. Like, it would be nice to see them, but I think it's better off for them to start in low A.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
So do you want to move to the AFL, James? Seem like a good time.
Yeah, we could. Then I'm gonna come back to something before he gets off. Yeah.
All right. So, Jesus, you broke a tweet that's doing fairly well for you. You broke the roster invitees for the White Sox to the Arizona Fall League. We had talked about thinking that Hagen Smith and Noah Schultz were going to be there. We had hoped that Braden was going to end up there, but you broke some other names in Sam Antonacci, Ryan Galaney, Connor McCullough, Tyler Davis, and Carson Jacobs. I assume that you also you got information from Janish on his thoughts of what they're doing down there.
In terms with the Arizona Fall League guys?
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing is just giving these guys innings. It's kind of I wouldn't say the whole point of the fall league, but it's really specifically for a lot of arms and just for a lot of talent that's, you know, kind of borderline fringe, you know, protect them on the 40-man roster. We didn't get too deep into talking like individually about every player outside of Schultz and Hagen Smith. Obviously, they both had injuries. They're both high arms. And the White Sox have a lot of hope for them. I remember at the beginning of the year, the organization was hopeful that these guys could be up here right now with the major league team. And unfortunately, that hasn't been the case. But I think both of them, Schultz and Smith, both have a really good advanced profiles. It's just really unfortunate the way it's gone down with the injuries. Obviously, Noah Schultz with the leg injury. I mean, when you're that tall, I mean, I wasn't surprised to see him do that. And then obviously Hagen Smith coming down to the complex to do some work a little bit at the beginning of the year and just kind of hone in and trying to hit more strikes too. So I think when looking at the headline of this AFL class, I think it's obviously going to be big dependent to see how Schultz and Smith are going to perform, just for the White Sox to get a better feel of where they'll be at next year. Because I know the injuries are unfortunate, but I think we forget how young these guys are. You know, this is Hagen Smith's first season of professional baseball. Schultz was a high school player coming out of it. You know, they're still very early on into their career, and I think getting a good gist of what they are and also playing against very high talent. You know, I've been fortunate the past 2 years through the Arizona Fall League to see a lot of really good players come through it. And I think for them to be able to get, you know, live innings, live action against some really good players, I think it's also going to get a good idea of where they stand.
So obviously, a lot of people know Jerry Espinoza takes a lot of photos out there. You know, he had a tweet yesterday, I think, that said that this is like maybe the best White Sox contingent he's seen out there in 5 years. I don't expect you to necessarily comment on that, but like in regards to that, anything else from Yanish that was informative that you feel like you're allowed to share?
Yeah, there was a couple of players that he mentioned on the international side too, because I get like with the British League, I feel like the big thing is like you get to see a lot of these draft guys, right? But I think a lot of people forget too that it's also for a lot of the players that stayed during that played during the ACL that stay around. A couple of players that he really wanted that we talked about and that he mentioned was Christian Gonzalez was there too. I think Aldrin Batista. That's his name. Aldrin Batista was pitching over there yesterday with the complex recently. I know he's in the IL right now. He was somebody that looked really good for them. And then I also asked about Nick McClain, and Yanish confirmed to me that he's done playing for the rest of the year. It's just very unfortunate what's going on with the injuries, but the White Sox are going to do their best to kind of, you know, put him in that process to be able to come back stronger for next year. They really like what they saw out of him before he went down with the injury, but the biggest thing that they wanted to do is make sure that he's in the position next year to come back healthy and be able to stay there long-term for them.
Do you know anything about Marcelo Alcala? So he had seven homers. The other stats aren't, you know, they're not great, but I think that was close to the complex league, like home run, like total. Like seven is kind of a lot, I think, for out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a lot. And he's been playing in Bridge League action, too. I'm glad you brought him up because he's also been a name that's been in there, too. He's been in the heart of the order, you know, but whether he's batting third or fourth, you know, he has a very physical right-handed swing. And honestly, like, the body really stands out. Like, he is big. Like, you can tell this guy is a power-hitting bat just by looking at him, too. And he's been able to show that, obviously, with the seven home runs in the ACL and the raw pop. It all looks really good right now. I think the biggest thing for him is going to come down to swing decisions, because ultimately, while he does cause a lot of damage, I think there's also, he's a little bit trigger happy when he sees something, you know, breaking it in the zone. From the very limited time that I've seen him in the ACL and in the Bridge League so far. But he's a guy, you know, that's really standing out. I think he's, I'm not sure if he's ranked within our top 30 rankings, but there's a couple other lists that have him up there. But I think as he continues to put in the work and stuff like that, especially him being there for the rest of the year, I think there's a lot of upside for him to be a 2020 guy. Like I mentioned, he's been a pop middle of the order lineup for a lot of the lineups that I've been able to see on the Bridge side. So he's another guy that's been standing out too. Another guy too that Yanish mentioned was Stephen Flores, the catcher, who saw some time in the ACL. He was just another name that that Yanish threw out there too.
So before we let you go here, one of our guys asked about Fabian Isala, who I think was a pitcher that was signed out of Venezuela a couple years ago. And then I want just your thoughts, anything you have on Matthias Lacombe from when you were out there. He's obviously, you know, in Canapolis now. He's, you know, ranked in the top 20 of our system, you know, just for us at Future Sox, I'm saying. But I think you saw him too, right, out there?
Yeah, yeah. And just specifically talking about Lacombe right here, I mean, you want to talk about like a true scouting find, you know, the foundation of scouting to find players. I think Matthias Lacombe is a great example of it. You know, he's from France. He came over to pitch at a community college here in Arizona, which is like 20 minutes away from the Mexican border. And for him to be like one of the more dominant pitchers in the Arizona the junior college scene, which is a very good baseball scene, kind of speaks to the potential he has. He speaks three languages. When I was talking to Yanish about him, he couldn't stop talking about how interesting and fascinating of a guy he is too. I think the big thing for him was with Lacombe is when you look at his arsenal, it's a pretty good arsenal. Has an above average sinker with natural cut that sits in the mid 90s, and then he's also developed a new sweeper that he began to develop. So he's adding a lot of stuff to his arsenal, a lot of stuff to the pitch. He looked really good in the Arizona Fall League and ultimately got the bump up to low A. The biggest thing for him when I was talking to Yanish was the fact that they really want to be able to make sure that he finishes the year healthy. You know, he's battled with a couple injuries. The most recently was a shoulder impingement and a lat strain that he was dealing with, and kind of saw a little bit of a delayed start in the Arizona Complex League, which is why he saw a little bit more time up there. And now that he's in high A, it's a really encouraging sign. I was hoping that he'd be a guy that would see some AFL action, but it makes sense now why he isn't going to be on that roster, and it's to not put too many innings on him. But when I was talking to Yanish about it, and they said that if they feel like they've seen the progression and he's able to keep the health at this rate right now, he's going to begin next year one of the Class A affiliates. And I think it's also important to like mention how much Yanish mentioned that this is a guy that they think can help contribute the major league roster at some point. And if he's healthy and all ready to go, he's going to be a guy that you could see ascend at a decent rate through the system. So definitely one of the more intriguing guys within the system, not just from, you know, a playing standpoint, but also just the personal journey and the history that he has there.
All right. Well, Jesus, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for coming on and joining us. So much, a lot of information overload. I know we appreciate it. I know the people that are watching, a bunch of prospect sickos. So I know that they're thankful to hear about this stuff as well. So, do you want to, on your way out the door, do you want to let people know where they can find your work and, where they can find you?
Of course. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. No, thank you guys so much for having me. I really enjoyed coming here and talking to you guys, but yeah, on Twitter, X, whatever name you guys want to, anybody wants to call it. I'm a Jesus_Cano88. And like I mentioned earlier, I'm based out of Phoenix, Arizona here. So I'm here boots on the ground year round through it all, you know, from spring training to ACL to Bridge League to Instructs to Arizona Fall League. Like, I am dedicating the coverage to get out to a lot of people that don't necessarily can see what's going on over here. You can catch over my work at baseballamerica.com. You know, we do a really good job, not just on the pro side, but also the amateur side, the draft side, and the college side. We have a really good college team that covers college baseball. So if anybody feels inclined to come check out our website and subscribe, you get the best top-notch content out there. We do a really good job. I've learned so much working from those guys at Baseball America. But that's kind of it from me so far. I appreciate you guys. And to everybody that's followed and retweeted, thank you guys so much. Just my first year of covering prospects full time has been such a learning experience, and just to be able to get the information out to people who enjoy baseball, people who appreciate scouting, player development, it means a lot. So I'm going to do my best to continue delivering the work out there for not just White Sox fans, but every other team based out of the Cactus League.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah. White Sox fans are kind of sicko, so you're going to have some more followers. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I see a comment someone says about the re-ranks. Our updated top 30s are coming this week, so that should be something that people look forward to. So excited to get that out to you guys.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Jesus Cano, melted boots on the ground in Arizona. We appreciate your time. Thank you. And we will talk soon. Thanks.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man.
All right.
So that was fun.
Yeah, that's awesome information.
That dude's
good stuff to hear.
That dude's gonna be. Yeah, he's good, and that it's coverage that they've needed, just because it's like, especially, and I think people were trying to pivot and figure out how to cover this stuff, right? Because like the season ends, and you just have these like top prospects like sitting out there, like you know, I think we kind of think like, oh, they're out there doing nothing. Like, no, they're playing every day. It's just there's no box scores, right? So having people out there to watch is awesome.
Yeah, no, for sure. The Walsh, who we've had on this program, from what he told me, for these bridge league slash continuation league, whatever the heck you want to call them, from what I understand, as long as you know that there's a game happening, for anybody that happens to be in Arizona, you can literally just walk up and watch these games. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to pay for them. As long as you know exactly where you're going, to whatever backfield they're playing on, you can go watch them play. And it's pretty awesome.
And if you know who Sox people are, like, this regime will talk to you. Like, if you, yeah, hey, that's, you know, such and such, like Phil Nevin standing over there, like go up and introduce yourself and have a conversation. Cause they'll like these guys have, you know, we can criticize whatever, like moves, if you don't like the moves, like that sort of stuff. But they've been pretty transparent, especially cause I think they know like how bad the big league team is and where they're trying to go. So, you know,
yeah.
Before we get started, funny story. Last night, we went to Bill Veeck night at the park. It was fun. But me and my wife were walking on the concourse, and I don't know if you ever get this, but like there's just like somebody looking at me, and I'm like, okay, like this is fine. Like we're on camera every week or whatever. And this dude goes, "Hey, podcast guy," and then he like, you know, remembered my name, and we like were like, "Oh yeah, hey, like James, whatever." And then we like kind of went our separate ways. And so if that guy's listening right now, send me like a DM on Twitter so I know who you are, and like you know, I can like follow back or whatever. It was pretty brief, but I thought it was pretty funny. Like, yeah, podcast guy, that's me.
Yeah, hey, podcast guy. Well, here you are. So I just got back from North Carolina. Went and saw the Dash and the Cannonballers. Also saw the Dash. Finally got to see Kyle Lodice. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see the Ballers when they got DePino and Eblen and Shelton. I didn't get to see any of those guys because they got called up after I was gone. But I did get to see Lodice, and he looked good. That was good. And I did see Carey, as mentioned in the comments here. Went to five games. Oh, also went and saw Connor Griffin in Asheville at the Tourist's 100-plus-year-old park that kind of – like
you're one of the only people that saw them, because you can't watch those games anyway.
Yeah, you can't watch those. You can't watch those games because they don't stream them. And I had never actually seen the inside of that park except for through a like 1995 Nokia camera phone that somebody recorded like Oscar Colas's first home run.
Yeah, I remember like, that. Yeah,
first time I've seen the inside of the park. Absolutely awesome place. And kind of reminds me, if you've been to the Gibson Amphitheater out in LA, like the amphitheaters that they have there, they're just kind of like dropped right in the middle of a neighborhood. And so there's like houses out in the trees, out in the outfield. Awesome place to see a baseball game. Amenities a little lacking, but I did get to see Connor Griffin. And he was awesome. So there's
as advertised, that one's a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah, it happens. You know, I mean, like, I mean, I guess we might as well start there. The Hagen Smith stuff kind of took off right quick after, you know, I mentioned that I was going to see Connor Griffin. And then it's like after that, you know, I made a tweet about like, because Hagen was pitching at the same time as at the Connor Griffin game.
Right.
And I got some nasty responses back on Twitter, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, that night was fun on Twitter. Like people were very mad at me too, because I just kind of, and I just like kind of felt the need to keep the conversation alive. Cause I knew that you probably, like, I didn't even know if you were watching on the app, right? Because you were, you know, you're following along, but you're at a game, right? Like I'm at home.
Yeah.
So I'm like, look, like the Sox don't seem concerned, and he's got a kajillion strikeouts. But, you know, it just he doesn't look the same. And I think that's okay to say that it hasn't been that great of a year. I think the problem is, like, we're changing our expectations, like, midstream, right? Like, I get all this stuff where it's like, oh, he's only 21. They have time. They're bad. But
weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
All that stuff, right? That's totally fine. Like, I totally understand that. But he was supposed to be, like, this super fast-moving college pitcher.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons why you took him over some of the bats that you did not take, right? And nowhere have I said that he's not going to be good and, like, he might be awesome still, you know? Like, Hagen Smith might be great. Like, I hope they're right and I hope he's awesome. But, like, I'm not, like, I just, like, I feel an obligation to, like, be honest, right? Like, I'm not just going to, like, do this every week, right? And then say, like, oh, yeah, Hagen Smith's awesome. Like, he's going to be fine. Because like, I don't know that I necessarily, like, believe that week to week right now.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, it's not even necessarily that they picked Hagen Smith. It's who they passed over to take Hagen
Smith.
Right,
like, he
needs
to be awesome.
Yeah,
he really has to be. Like, and he might be. And I'm glad he's going to the Fall League. It's something that we've all kind of talked about. Like, I think both those guys need to go there and finish. Chris Getz was on 670 this week. He didn't really get into the velocity other than saying the stuff is still there and he's a big part of our future. So, look, they don't seem concerned. They would not be sending him to the Arizona Fall League in this prospect league with all the best prospects in baseball. Like, if they were concerned about, like, his health or his psyche, because he's going to face some dudes out there. So, you know, like, that's the thing about, like, a lot of times pitchers don't go out there because they've basically hit their innings limits for the year. But it's also, like dudes of dudes, like, in that league. So that's why it's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, last year you saw Cags out there because he didn't get a whole lot of minor league play, you know, after the draft, and they wanted to keep him going, and because they probably had a plan that they were going to bring him up this year.
Right.
So,
go ahead.
No, you're good. Go.
I do think a guy like Antonacci, like, so our prospect list comes out this week. He's going to be pretty high for us. Okay. I don't know where he's going to be at Pipeline and BA. He's the type of guy that could really put himself on the radar in something like the Arizona Fall League, right? Because, I mean, like, Adam Engel won MVP of the Fall League. Like, anybody can go nuts for 6 weeks. And Antonacci's bat-to-ball skills are so good that I think he might be noticed for the first time by some people. I don't think he has, like, the upside of a guy that's, like, a top 100 type guy, right? Because he doesn't have enough power. But it's lefty Mydroth at a minimum, right? I mean, it's kind of what he's doing. And that's a valuable guy. And in that league, I just don't think he'll be phased because the pitching's usually not that great.
Yeah. Adrian's asking if any of the 2025 pitcher draftees will get any time in Canny this year. I talked to you about it. I talked to Kerry about it. And I had said, I thought it was like like 2 weeks after. And then she confirmed it was like almost exactly 2 weeks later that the pitchers were reinforced in Canny last year. So I would say that you could probably look to see them next Tuesday is my guess.
I could see some of that. And it's not so like the dude from Coastal pitched a ton of innings. But their first two picks, Gabe Davis of Oklahoma State and then Wink, from Ohio State, they don't have any innings. So,
right.
Not that like they never have these guys like start and throw five innings or something. Right. So there might be bullpen rolls, but like you could see Gabe Davis for, you know, three innings a week, basically, to finish it out. And then those guys, I think, are both rotation options for Kannapolis and Winston next year.
6'9" monster hurling 100 miles an hour.
They have a lot of – how many – do you think they have the most 6'9" pitchers of any team in baseball?
Well, they've got what's that? They obviously Davis and the other.
They drafted a guy in the 10th.
What the heck's his name?
They drafted a guy in the 10th round. And then they have Schultz.
And
How tall is Carson Jacobs?
6'9".
Right, that's what I mean. Like they just like kind of do this.
Stockpiling
like,
them.
All these big monster dudes. Yeah.
They need. They got high shelves, so they need to.
Davis
draft tall guys.
Davis doesn't throw that hard though. I mean, it's enough. It's 93 to 96, I think, but and maybe like in relief he would be or something, right? And he's been hurt all the time, but no. And the Iowa guy is like low 90s. Like it's like really funny. It's just a funky release.
I want to get this out there because I had a conversation with somebody that is close to the pitching in the system. And I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this because I kind of felt the same way. And I've been complaining about it for a while now.
Sorry, I'm laughing at comments.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're looking at. So the theory that was proposed, and, you know, I've been complaining about this for a while, about the low pitch counts and the low inning counts with these guys, feeling like it was kind of doing a disservice. And the thought that was proposed to me that possibly some of the results that you've seen over the last like month and a half or so from some of these pitchers might be because they're not pitching that much and they're not allowed to really get a feel for a game. And that's why you see sporadic results between start to start, because they're only pitching three innings and only allowed to throw 45 pitches. So it's not helping them get into the feel of the game and work on their results. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense to me. They just like, I feel like there's oftentimes when they don't pitch enough. I mean, look, I think like Noah Schultz, right, is like a different story. Like he barely pitched in high school and you have to like kind of nurse him along, right?
Yep.
And even like Tanner, like I know we get maybe frustrated watching McDougal go three innings now. And I think they want him to end in the big leagues and whatever, right? Fine. Like he's like already at his innings limit. But like limiting some of these college guys who pitch every, like it's like the Hagen thing was weird. And look, like there was like an injury concern, whatever. But I just like didn't expect it with everybody, right? Like the 30 pitch thing is something they've always done. Like if you're laboring and you throw 30 in an inning and yank you, like that's fine. Like that happens, right? But yeah, like the predetermined like three inning starts, I don't know. I mean, look, like Bannister has had success doing this in Boston and in San Francisco before. So we'll see. The one thing I will say is I really trust their big league pitching staff. Like, you know, their coaches there, whether it's Katz and some of the other guys they have there, I think they've gotten the most out of some guys. I think like we've seen struggles from Jonathan Cannon, right? But I kind of thought this is what Jonathan Cannon was going to be. Not three stinkers in a row, right? But just like him being a functional back end starter in the big leagues, like as a third, like I took a lot of flack this week for like somebody must have a group chat where like they were like talking about me or something, whatever. That's fine. Like I get it. Cause like I had the same tweet quote tweeted five times from when they took Jonathan Cannon in the third round. And I said like, oh, this is a great pick here, whatever. It still is a great pick there. It's a third rounder. And Ian, full disclosure, like Ian's not a huge Jonathan Cannon guy, guys. Like he's, you know, that's one of the just, he was always kind of the low guy on him, which is fine. Like the fact that he's even in the big leagues, like go look at White Sox third rounders. Like they don't make the majors. Like
I went through 40 years of third round picks so we could determine that he was the best third rounder.
It's a good pick. It's fine. Like there's guys, there's plenty of stuff to kill me for. Trust me. Like I have graveyards of bad tweets. Like they're, you know, the Jonathan Cannon one, I was kind of surprised. I'm like, this is what you guys are going after me for? There's a whole bunch of worse takes than this.
Yeah, I mean, like we've had this conversation, you know, you and I have had this conversation a bunch of times. I've always thought he was a number five. You know, if he reached his peak, I thought that he was a number five. Just my thoughts, you know? But
well, what do you think about, so going back to your previous conversation, right? I think we always, we just like want these guys, and I'm prisoner of it too, right? It's like, oh my God, if they don't get to 100 innings, like how are they ever going to throw 160 in the big leagues or whatever? And like Sean Burke never pitched in the minors. And I don't know how good Sean Burke is, right? Like he might be a bulk reliever ultimately, or somebody that needs an opener or whatever. But I mean, it's like an ERA in the fours with pretty decent stuff, like in the big leagues. And he doesn't seem too like encumbered by an innings load. He didn't pitch at all in the minors. So like, so maybe it like, doesn't matter as much as with, you know, and that's one example, right? But like, maybe,
but I mean,
maybe they just, maybe we're
it's
okay.
It's just August though.
Right. True.
You know, I mean, so like when we get to, you know, like September and everybody's like really like starting to slow down, and those, you know, they mentioned on the broadcast today, that the White Sox were relying on pitching a lot of the time. And, you know, if you don't have that pitching,
right,
because everybody's tired because they haven't pitched any innings, then, you know, that's what you're looking at.
It's a sneaky good bullpen somehow.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they just like don't give up any runs. And it's like the island of misfit toys. Yeah, Uncle Ted, Davis Martin. Do you think Davis Martin was a good pick in the 14th round? Is that fair? Yeah. Can I say that or no? Like, if he has a bad start, is that a bad pick? Like,
yeah, I mean, in the big leagues, just like complaining. It's people okay. just like complaining. I mean, that's what we've learned in this.
My favorite one was somebody quote tweeted that Cannon tweet from 4 years ago, whatever. They're like, this aged well. I'm like, okay, like
he's
on.
In the majors.
Like, okay, come on, guys.
I mean,
like,
do people really think that just because somebody's drafted in the third round that means they're going to be in the majors? No, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like 10% of these people that get drafted even sniff the major leagues. And the fact that you've got several from that draft class that are playing in the major leagues, like, come on, man. Like, give me a break. And I also had another funny thought earlier today that just made me chuckle when I started thinking about it. With how many Tommy John surgeries the White Sox had next year, I mean, it's possible that you're going to have like 9 guys doing rehab starts in like Kannapolis and Winston-Salem and Birmingham. Oh, yeah. Like, you're just going to have them all start ascending into the system on rehab starts. Like, you're going to have like Kai Bush pitching in Winston-Salem while Mason Adams is pitching in Kannapolis.
Right.
You know,
you'll have Drew Thorpe somewhere.
Yeah.
Blake Larson, I think, will like actually belong in Kannapolis, right? You have like a whole bunch of, like, we're seeing Connor McCullough right now, right? And yeah, like, he's got really nowhere to go. I don't know if they're going to like let him keep starting or what, but they obviously want to get him some innings in the AFL. Yeah. I mean, there's just, so I was interested to hear from Jesus. I didn't know that Bautista was back pitching. That's exciting. Yeah. Juan Carella, Alex,
gonna...
is another one. Good call.
Yeah, they said that Bautista was going to make it back for the end of the year this year. I just,
yeah,
you know,
that's fine.
If he's pitching in Arizona right now, they got what, like,
well, no, that season's over, so he's just pitching in bridge games. So he could go he could go back to Winston whenever.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Just the bridge league.
Yeah,
whatever.
But he could go. I mean, if he's ready, my guess is he'll just go back to Winston.
Yeah. I'd probably come, like, bring him out of the bullpen or something like that. I don't know.
It was interesting, guys. Like, so our top 30 comes out this week. The full list will be out Wednesday. Just missed out tomorrow. You know, maybe today if you're listening in podcast form Monday. Ranking all these injured guys was interesting because you don't want to, like, punish a guy for getting hurt. But there's more – like, a guy like Kai Bush is a good example who I think, you know, me and Ian and Dylan and Elijah and our guy Adrian in the comments, like – you know, we all put in lists this year and voted on this thing, and Sleepy as well. And there were some differences of opinion. And, you know, like a guy like Kai Bush, I think, is like 20, almost 25 already. And I just think you bake in like how close that guy is to the majors. And he was probably pitching hurt last year. And you look at other publications. I mean, he's still like top 16, top 17 in the system. Yeah. And look, it doesn't mean that we should just like go look at Baseball America and like copy their list. But I mean, he's like highly regarded still by some people who do this. Like, it was tough for me to leave that guy off, like, just because like he got hurt and we forgot about him.
Yeah. I will say that this top 30 was particularly difficult. I felt like I felt like, you know, it's like once I got past the top 20, I felt like I was putting guys in there, but I felt like I was also leaving a bunch of guys off. And I think that you'll kind of, you know, you guys will see that when you see the just miss list come out, you're going to be like, oh, I would have thought that maybe that guy might have, you know, snuck in somewhere in the bottom 20 or the bottom 10. Yeah, it was difficult.
And in some years they could. Like some of these guys from the just miss list will be on our list next year midseason, right? Like there's some guys that I'm excited about that we could I think Casey Sockey can hit, right? We have Tommy John this year. Like he hasn't played. We can't put that guy on a top 30. Like the system's not great anymore, yeah. but it's too good for a guy like that to make it, right? Like he could go out to Winston next year and have a 130 WRC plus, and all of a sudden he's like the 20th ranked guy in the system right away. There's just like a lot of guys like that where that could happen. You know, I personally think like I could come up with 10 to 15 more names that we could put on the just miss, but I would.
How many are on there?
20.
Doug's asking.
20.
Is it 20?
Yeah, 20 is what I usually say. Actually, there might be 21 because I added one guy, but yeah, we usually cap it at 20. I mean, look, it turns into you're writing up a lot of relievers and they're so like volatile, right? Like we, you know, like even like not to beat on them, but like Anthony Hoopy Tuianatoa, right? Yeah, I can never say it right. And Ian laughed.
Not gonna work here anymore.
Right, yeah. No, I just mean like guys can be great one year and just like nothing the next, right? So you just like have all these relievers on the list generally. And like it kind of is what it is.
Yeah. Like I said, this year was interesting. And this is like the first time where it's not like I'm scraping up guys to fit in the bottom five. Like this is legitimately like I think that there's enough talent here trying to fit it in under 30. But wondering if maybe somebody, you know, like that's when you start like wondering about, you know, upside and projection versus 100%. Results. And it makes it a lot more difficult. So.
Well, everybody thinks about it differently, right? Like it's just kind of, it's one of those things where it's, you know, like Matthias Lacombe is a good example, right? Like I think he's going to end up a little bit higher than maybe some people think, but you know, like you start looking at pitching prospects in the system. Like if he's healthy, like he's one of the better ones, right? Whereas some people might look at somebody that's closer to the majors. Like how about this, right? Like Colson Montgomery, he's on the list because he's not at 130 at bats yet, right? Like you could make the argument that Colson should be first on this list. He's not, right? But like we're literally seeing him do it in the majors, and there's some shortcomings. For sure, right? He's not walking as much as maybe we thought or like whatever, but this dude might hit 20 freaking homers like in like under half his, you know, it's very easy for maybe people who don't do this sort of thing in a couple days to be like, how do you have these guys over Colson Montgomery? And honestly, like, I don't know if I can really blame him like for thinking that way.
Yeah. So this is actually an interesting question because we don't do our ranking systems. At least I don't. I don't do my ranking systems like this. What are your thoughts on how many guys would be rated a 45 or better overall? Like 15, something like that.
I don't know in the system the way it currently is. I mean, what would you say like for George? Is George a 45, future 45? I don't know. I think it would be safe to go 10, like the top 10 probably or so, because then you start like I thought it got hard in the early teens because of graduations. It was difficult, right? Like no Caro, no Teal, no Grant Taylor. Like there were a lot of guys who were on our preseason that just are off the list now. Like Shane Smith, we had Shane Smith 29th on our preseason list. Obviously that was wrong. Like we had no idea Shane Smith was going to be this good, right? So yeah. But I mean he's off the list now anyway. You know, there's a lot of talented dudes in the big leagues that are like on this White Sox team who are no longer on this list. So then we kind of just had to, you know, figure out where to rank. I don't love ranking relievers. Ian can kind of share his thoughts. Elijah, you know, is a big part of this thing and he's very similar. Like to me, like if you don't have like lockdown closer potential as a reliever, it's tough to put you like on a top 30, like in a good system. And I think it's still a, you know, I'm very curious to see what other publications say, because I think like Colson has like a couple weeks left on the list. I think the Sox have firmly like six top 100 guys right now. Like if you have Carlson on the list, like with the three shortstops and Montgomery and two left-handed starters, like how much does that vault them? Right. Because the list is not as good, I don't think, like 8 to 20 as like it was. Like, are they a middle of the pack system? Probably. I don't think they're bottom 10, like again, with five top 100 guys, but it's not like a top five system right now, I don't think, by any means.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of one of those things, especially with the performances that you've gotten out of some of the top guys. It kind of makes me say, yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. And that said, like, as far as relievers go, I don't even know, like maybe I might have put Wickelman on there, but like I'm kind of over putting relievers in there just because, you know, it's pretty hit or miss, you know. So
well, Wickelman looks pretty good, but like, so this is one of the things, and we got this onto the Callis show, right? That wasn't off air, it was on, where I asked Jim about this, because like, what do you do about guys who you kind of like, right? Who, okay, maybe there's still some starter utility here, but the White Sox have clearly decided bullpen guy, right? Well, we're doing a top 30 list for the White Sox. So if they've decided that Jairo Iriarte is like maybe a seventh inning guy, like regardless of whether I think he can start or not, like how do I put that guy on the list?
Yeah. And then you look at the results and yeah, you're like, yeah, I'm not... Like I don't think I put him. I'm almost 100% certain.
I don't think any of us put him on.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough. So next week's going to be all about the top 30, or at least, you know, like a good half hour of it'll be about the top 30. So let's just go ahead and,
well, we do have BA. So we'll have BA and pipeline as well. So ours, right. BA's pipelines. So that'll be interesting. We can kind of do rankings.
Yeah. Do like a little comparison test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I did go, and I listened to probably about 2/3 of that Rick Hahn podcast.
Yeah.
Which I need to finish that. And that was interesting. Then you had Chris Getz going on the radio saying some things, but I mean, not getting super in depth about stuff.
He's much better at talking now, though.
Yeah. Seems a lot more comfortable. Chris Getz, you're not lawyer speak.
No, I think he's likable. Yeah. He's, you know. Like, the Robert stuff was interesting because he's just like, I'm not going to trade him for that. Like, I'm not doing that. If you think I'm an a-hole, like, fine. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, I've made enough bad trades. I can't make another one.
Yeah. I get where he's coming from with that whole thing. Like, you don't want to just be giving it away for nothing just to get rid of him if you feel that if you're going to pick up the option anyway.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So...
What was rings to...
Yeah, so
rings
rosters to rings.
Rosters and to rings.
So, like, it's like, I think it's Ryan McDonough's podcast, who was a former GM of the Phoenix Suns. But there are episodes where Thad Levine, who was recently the second in command in Minnesota, but he resigned, like, prior to the season to do other things, apparently podcast. But so him and John Daniels had a history together in Texas. Him and John Daniels are on this podcast. And they interviewed Rick Hahn, which is interesting because I had always heard that Hahn and Daniels were tight and them and the Rangers made lots of deals, which is like not terribly surprising, I guess, after hearing this. So did you hear, and some of it was like pretty interesting from Rick and whatever, and he didn't totally like, you know, whatever. But like there's a part in there where he talks about like some seasons where he like runs the numbers and they have like a 9% chance to make the playoffs, right? And he goes to Jerry and he made a joke about, he's like, I don't think Jerry's seen Dumb and Dumber, but that's like essentially what it was like, where it's like, oh, so we're going to buy then. And it's like, hey, okay, I guess so. Like, and you know how many years, Ian, like the end of the Ozzie run, just like all those years where I'm like, this team should sell. And they just never do, right? They just like trade their bad prospects for like a couple of small upgrades. And then the Twins or Guardians or the Indians at the time beat them anyway. And then it's just another stupid season where they were like 500 when they probably should have sold. I was like the most infuriated hearing that part where it's like, you know, your front office people, like aren't the total complete dopes that everybody thought they were. It's just, you know, the one with the, you know, who has the gold makes the rules or whatever. Like, you know, like it's Jerry's team and they get to play with it. It's basically what Rickon said. So.
Sorry, I had to go through and remove some stuff.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Boot somebody.
Jeez. Yeah. So it's like
people got nothing better to do.
Yeah. It's like kind of frustrating. But no. So the pot, I don't know. What do you think Rickon's play is here? Media?
I don't know. Like, yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking, is that he was making his way to possibly being something along those lines, you know, like,
he was an ex, like Jim Duquette or somebody, like, you know,
like
whatever.
Maybe he ends up on MLB Network and takes one of their jobs. I don't know.
Right.
You know?
Cause is he going to get it? Like, I think he would, like, if John Dan, it seems like if John Daniels or Thad Levine got a job, maybe he'd like join a front office in some role. Right. I knew he wanted to like stay living here. And I think his kids now, like, I think one of his kids works for the Rays, which, you know, John Daniels also works for the Rays. So not terribly. I'm just curious. And there's not going to be like, I think one of the worst kept secrets right now is that Ben Cherington's going to be fired in Pittsburgh. So that job might open. And there's rumors that Colorado might open, but like, does he really want to do that to himself? And I don't necessarily think Han is like a GM, like a candidate for president of baseball ops right now. He probably has to do something else first, but he could definitely be in somebody's front office if he wants.
Yeah. I don't know. Dude, I mean, I kind of feel like he's still trying to angle for a front office job, and that media is probably not going to be it. But I mean, you know, it's who knows, you know,
I need a book at some point.
I would like one.
I don't know if Jerry would have to be like gone for it to, you know what I mean? But how about even like the stories in there about his first meetings with Reinsdorf and Reinsdorf denies him? It's just like, what are we doing here? Like, he's got his back. Yeah. He's like got his back to him and he's like, kid, you're way too overqualified for this. You can go hang out with our old scouts. Like, it's just like, come on, man. Like, what are we
I refuse
doing?
To help you ruin your life.
Yeah. It's like, what are we?
All right. Save it for somebody. Save it for somebody else there.
No. So I recommend it if people like that sort of thing. It was pretty informative. On the Rosters to Rings podcast, it's called.
Yep. I thought it was interesting. Uncle Ted asks if Ishby is going to move the Sox to Nashville next to a soccer team. I don't think so.
No, he's not. Now, I think Nashville, if they get a team, they'll get a new team. Like, they're not going to get a current team. Because the owners want the relocation. Or the relocation fee is not as good as the franchise fee. So. That's the Kenny Williams story. Yes, yeah. I said that last week on this podcast, right? That AJ Preller is like who Kenny thinks he is in his best dreams.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much kind of how I think he might be. Pretty good. Flawed, but
definitely flawed, especially defensively and as a base runner.
Yeah. There's a question about Lenin Sosa and whether he's actually good. When I used to do this show with Mike Rankin, I wondered aloud if like Lenin Sosa, like they'd trade him and he'd like turn into Marcus Semien. I think I was a little ambitious. Okay. Like, he's not Marcus Semien because he can't play defense anywhere, but he can hit 20 homers in the big leagues.
Well, we didn't think Marcus Semien could either.
I mean, he doesn't walk ever, but he's going to hit 20 homers.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, he hits the ball hard. And that's one, you know, I always said he could hit. It was just would probably take him a little bit of time to get there. And so baseball brings up, so we talked about this, about John and Steve not broadcasting a game together.
Oh, yeah, they're back.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that there's a problem there?
So I got like a weird DM from somebody a couple weeks ago that told me that like they had like an issue in June, like, and I get these like things sometimes and I'm just like, I don't know. You know, whatever. Like, I don't know what to think.
Before they stopped broadcasting?
Oh, yeah. So this was like that they like were started. They like got in a fight or something in June and it was like public up there and like whatever. Right. And people knew about it. Whatever. I kind of brushed it off. Yeah. Well, this same person sent me a DM like 10 minutes before the Ryan Sandberg announcement that he had heard that like Sandberg had passed. Mm. and I even texted you. I'm like, hey, like, I heard, you know, whatever. So I don't know. Like, maybe this person, like, does know somebody in the White Sox booth and that actually happened. I don't know, man. It's weird. Steve Stone's, like, been taking time. He's taken so many games off. Like, I remember when Jason Benetti got fired because, like, he worked too many games that weren't White Sox games. Now Steve Stone's never there.
So did the DM start with, hey, podcast guy?
It did, yeah. That's my wife, yeah. My wife wanted, that's like going to get t-shirts made. I think like I'm with podcast guy. Like, yeah, like it was interesting. You know, he remembered my name, I think, like, right. And I was like, James, like, yeah, hi. Like, it happens.
Yeah.
People remember my face. They like, I have like a punchable face. So.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, so, Uncle Ted says, what's up with her? Or, who was it? It's, Doug says shortstops are great because they can move, best player on their team. Like, no, like, I was just watching the Barons game earlier, and Doug was asking because DJ Gladney was at first today. And he had said, did you play first base in high school at all? And DJ said, no, I was a shortstop.
Shortstop, yeah.
They're all shortstops.
Yeah, they all play shortstop in high school.
Yeah,
it's like
every single one of them.
It's like everybody in the NFL played quarterback in high school.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, either quarterback or running back. Like,
yeah,
and just, like, safety or middle linebacker or something.
Yeah, even there's tapes out there of like Jadeveon Clowney's like high school tape where he's playing running back in high school, and it's like, it's like the Predator. Like, it's just insane. Like
that.
Some
that,
poor young men guy in South Carolina. Like, just my goodness gracious. Like,
what a monster.
Be like,
that
coach,
guy
my head hurts. I have to come out. Like.
Yeesh. Do you have anything pressing else that you wanted to talk about?
I don't think
so. I mean,
so. I think,
yeah.
So I didn't have the official diagnosis on Schultz, patella tendonitis.
Yeah.
Not hugely serious, but
annoying.
But I think it's been affecting him all year, which we'll see how he looks when he comes back. It could be, you know, one potential reason for maybe some of the struggles.
Yep. Yeah, and yeah, we've, you know, let's just hope that, you know, like, some time off or whatever that they need to do gets that the whole thing sorted out. And
yep. Callis thinks they might have the best contingent of anybody at the Fall League. Obviously, nobody else has announced this early. It's really early to announce.
It is really early, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Getz, it's just proactive on their part. I think they told players. I know for a fact they told players. So they were like, yeah, we might as well put this out here. And you know, so guys like James Fox don't report it before we can tell the media. So,
what a bunch of jerks.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and walk us out. You have been watching/listening to the Future Sox podcast. If you are listening to this in podcast form, know that you can find us every Saturday or Sunday night. What am I doing? At 8 p.m. on YouTube. And the Purple app. You can also find this podcast along with all our written content at futuresox.net. If you are looking for White Sox prospect highlights, you can once again find them on X at Future Sox, and now also here on our YouTube channel. If you love the content and want to support us here at Future Sox, there is a link to our Patreon in our channel description and at futuresox.net. You can also toss up a super chat on our YouTube stream. Also, don't forget to like this stream and subscribe with notifications so you know when we're going live, while helping us in the worldwide web algorithms. My name is Ian Askridge at Daily White Sox, and he is James Fox at JamesFox917. You know what we should mention, James? A new development that we totally glazed over and didn't even think about. We got added to the Just Baseball Network, which...
Yeah. Elijah talked about it on his show.
Ah, well.
Yeah.
I've been on vacation, so.
He's the big boss man over there. Yeah, no, we're thrilled. It's really helpful for us. It'll let us keep putting content. Not much will change, I don't think, like, as far as here and the website. You know, you're not going to see podcast posts like on the website as much anymore, but you guys know where to find the podcast. So.
Yep.
We're pretty excited. Those guys are great.
Indeed. A nice thing for us for sure, and we appreciate them. And speaking of that, we appreciate all of you. Thank you for coming and watching and hanging out and commenting in the chat, driving the show, giving us things to think about and things to talk about. We appreciate all you guys. Thanks so much for coming and hanging out. And we will catch up with you guys next week for the top 30 re-rank. You guys have a great